add the cheese.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.
Welcome to Scream Therapy. I'm your host, Jason Schurz. In October of 2018, I found myself in the hospital, sitting across from a psychiatrist who was telling me I had bipolar. I was sent home with a bunch of medication and laid on the couch for a week. I had my iTunes library on shuffle, trying to shake the hornet's nest from my head. Ever since I was a kid, I've been using loud music as a form of therapy. Punk rock and mental health have always been connected. This podcast looks at that connection through the lens of different guests. This is Scream Therapy. Music festivals are a place to let loose and enjoy your favorite bands. Often they take place in cities or fields, and with a fair share of debauchery. Fire in the Mountains Festival is a different experience. Taking place on the traditional lands of the Blackfeet Nation in Montana, attendees are witness to some of the world's heaviest bands, in a location that requires the utmost of respect. Ollie Tripp, one of the festival's organizers, says a focus on mental health and sobriety was one of the keys to holding Fire in the Mountains on Blackfeet territory. In association with the Firekeeper Alliance, the festival was able to help with mental health programs for Blackfeet youth. Metal and punk festivals in sweaty parking lots and on cruise ships have their own appeal, but Fire in the Mountains is a completely immersive experience, on sacred land and amongst caring people who become like a second family.
My name is Ollie Tripp. I am the operations director with the Fire in the Mountains Festival. Yeah, I've been working with them from the start. I was one of the co-founders of the festival when we used to be in Wyoming. It's been a huge journey just getting from, you know, a show in our backyard to a really cool partnership with some people I didn't expect to meet. And it's been super sick to see this transition to where it is. One of the biggest parts of the festival for me now, I've been sober for 15 years now. And so the transition into a more of a mental health focused or sobriety focused, however you want to put it, has been a huge boon in my life, I guess. I was fine with it the way it was before, but now it's been a nice way for me to share this part of my journey with other people that I know are struggling with the same issues that I've had.
You've partnered with Blackfeet Nation this year, moved the festival from its previous location. And the Firekeeper organization is doing great work as well. So What's the partnership there? Like, how do the two organizations work together?
I guess a little backstory is we were in Jackson, and it was just kind of us throwing a music festival, which was great. It ended up with us needing a new home. And Charlie, who is now the director of the Firekeeper Alliance, before it was created, just reached out to us saying that, hey, man, like, heavy metal music's helped me in my life through many mental struggles, and I think that it could really help the people here on the reservation in the Blackfeet. Just invited us to come out and go out there. And so we went out there, and it just seemed like a really cool idea at first, and I honestly had no idea what it was going to be. It was kind of a leap of faith on our part and their part, for sure, trusting us to come in. It turned into an amazing partnership where Charlie, who runs the alternative school there in Browning, he focuses a ton on mental health, and they have a heavy metal symposium class that they have, which is so sick. I went to Catholic school, which is the exact opposite of the experience that they're having. It's so cool to work with them and then give the kids internships. Working with suicide prevention on Indian country, it gives them something to look forward to. I don't have, personally, this is just me, grand visions that I'm like, even have the ability to change a lot.
Yeah.
But I think that like with the hard work that we do and with my own struggles with alcoholism, I can help one or two people, just like the future's a little brighter. And it's those little things that I think the partnership with the Firekeeper Alliance that really lights up my day, for lack of a better term. Like, I like to think of it, they're the ones, at least with my role at the festival, they're the ones doing the heavy work as far as mental health goes. I'm more the portos and dirt guy, you know? Like, I work camping, I'm in the dirt, and I'm doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was at the school again, because we go there and visit and just talk to the kids, and one of them came up, and I know it's somewhat of a typical teenager thing to say, but it seemed like to ring more true. So he just was like, you know, I haven't looked forward to anything in a really long time, and I'm so excited for this. So thanks. And that, I don't know, that made the year of worth it.
So metal, punk, grindcore, death metal, whatever, you know, a stoner metal, these are all genres that are, you know, a lot of people think are a bit scary, or like you see someone on the street with a really sketchy t-shirt and like, oh, these guys are, you know, but I think society is becoming a lot more understanding of that. When you first approached the Blackfeet Nation, and, you know, were there preconceptions of who you might be, who might come to the festival? Because it sounds like you, well, you said they took a leap of faith.
Yeah, and there were, for sure. I think, as you know, too, it's like when people think of a heavy metal festival, they kind of think of that. Remember that old movie? It was like Heavy Metal Parking Lot. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like that rowdy crowd just slamming beers, lighting fires in the parking lot. That's what they think is going to come. They were a little wary, but I found that their community is much more accepting. So I think the leap of faith was a little easier. I don't think that if we would not have had Charlie vouching for us, or we didn't have the mental health aspect, if we weren't working with the kids, if we were just coming in to play metal music at one of their campgrounds, it probably wouldn't have gone for it. But after this year, when they did see us, there was like a really nice mesh between the people that live there and then our metal community. The acceptance on both sides was great.
You saw the suicide rates among Indigenous people being way higher than average. Where was the impetus to focus more on mental health in general? Because it sounds like you do a lot of cool things with workshops and stuff, but specifically to address the issue.
I'll give all of those props to Charlie and the great teachers that work at the Buffalo Hyde Academy. That was their grand vision. Their grand vision was to get us there because they knew that we could throw a really nice, I guess for lack of a better term, holistic experience, something that like people go to and really felt like they're part of a family. They felt like a community was there. And he thought that that aspect could help his goals, which is the suicidality and the mental health, specifically in the Blackfeet community. And then once I saw that that was part of their grand vision, I just jumped in wholeheartedly.
Did the average metal fan that showed up to the festival buy into the mental health side of things?
They were pumped. It was so rad to see how stoked people were with that. Like, we had a bunch of talks, like I think you said, like during the day on mental health and issues, especially in Indian country, just to give people a frame of reference of what's going on there and the actual issues. Your average metalhead was so pumped on those talks. It was kind of part of our festival originally. It's like the sense of community and kind of taking care of each other. We didn't have any overt mental health things, but I think that that helped. And so that kind of carried on into this new one. I'm at the Northwest Terror Fest right now. It's day two today. And I had people coming up, just, you know, metalheads that came and were like, dude, that was awesome. You know, I've had a few letters of people with PTSD that said that they weren't sure that they could go for obvious reasons, or I guess not so obvious. And they're pumped. They loved it.
A lot of the metal bands, I'm thinking specifically Neurosis, who, what a huge thing then coming back and putting out such an amazing album, one of my favorite bands of all time. They overcame a lot of adversity around mental health issues. And how much are the bands, you know, learning about mental health issues, you know, overcoming that adversity? I would imagine that a lot of them come up to you and maybe share some of their struggles, or, you know, thanking of you for doing this kind of thing. The bands are just alongside of the attendees as well.
Yeah, it's been really cool. Maybe it's too general of a statement, but a lot of within the heavy metal community, we're drawn to it for a reason, right? And I think that goes for both the artists and the fans, like myself. You spoke to Loving Neurosis. When I went to rehab like 15 years ago, and that album, I think it was Given to the Rising, I think was the one, that and some Isis, and they got me through that, you know, like that section. We kind of do chat about that both ways. I try not to fanboy out too much, you know, and tell them about my thing, because that's kind of how I started. But once again, I think they do open up more because they do have chats with the Buffalo Hyde Academy. Like, they call in. I know Steve is really big in it. He's on their board. Aaron Turner's called in a few times. The guys from Converge have called in, and they give them, you know, more detailed looks into that aspect. And I haven't caught all of it, but it is cool that we've all gravitated toward this darker music for those same reasons.
Is the festival donating some of the revenue towards these programs?
A lot of it goes directly to the tribe, to the tribal council, and then they direct that money where they think it's most necessary there. And then also we have a lot of ways for people to donate directly to the Firekeeper Alliance. So there's a lot of ways for money to go directly to them, and then also just to the tribe at large. The biggest part that we want to do there is to have like a positive impact, you know?
Do you see this positive impact spreading out across other parts in the country? Have you thought about maybe doing some, let's call it a pop-up, which is, you know, not the greatest term for a metal festival, but have you thought about doing this in other areas without getting away from what you're doing with Blackfeet?
Yeah, we have some for sure. I think just getting this to like a really rad, sustainable place on the Blackfeet Reservation where we can actually, you know, hopefully contribute to the community there, it needs to take place before we try to do anything else. It's definitely what we've been thinking about, but I've always been a proponent of, like, if I can do a greater amount of good in one little area, I feel like it's better than me trying to do little things in a larger area, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I don't want to diminish what we've worked for now. I want this thing to really help and to really be fun and help everyone that comes, like the entire community, before I try to spend myself even thinner.
Have people that are part of the nation, have they gotten into the music? Like maybe folks that hadn't really been into heavy stuff before and like, whoa, what is this?
Yeah. And a lot of it's just like I came and like music, you know, wasn't that bad. It's more like that, you know, they're like, I thought it was going to be way worse as far as like the really heavy metal. But then the other things that are not metal, people have been like, oh, that was really cool. I didn't expect to hear that at all. My favorite bands that are going to come play, I don't know if they're going to be too stoked. They're not going to bring grindcore and get everyone on board, you know?
Yeah, I love that when people say, oh, it wasn't terrible. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, if I had a dollar every time I heard that.
So tell me a bit about the workshops that they put on. Is there specific to different kinds of mental health issues or?
I wouldn't say that there's like too many on specific mental health maladies, OCD, you know, like that. It's not like that. It's more on like a gross wavelength where it's just on like how to help out your mental health. It's on how to look at, especially with this kind of music, how to like use that darkness, use that heavy music to bring some positivity into your life. It's much more like that. finding the joy in the little things in heavier music.
Yeah, and that soothing heaviness that can really quiet the brain, and also the identity part of it too, like finding people that you can see in yourself and understanding each other, and the whole thing about, oh, I saw this person with a black t-shirt on today and it immediately connected with them or whatever. So I think that's a lesson that we've learned amongst ourselves. But I think when you look at indigenous cultures, that's always been part of their culture. So it's almost as if there's only a small subset of people that can really find that kind of togetherness and community.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's always about community. That's why I still work with what we do. If that wasn't an aspect, then I don't see the point.
When did you first get into heavy music, punk and metal? Do you remember when you first heard it, or it first really clicked with you?
I think I mentioned I went to Catholic school, so like kindergarten through high school. The first memory I have of getting any heavy metal or punk or anything, I got two Metallica albums. I got Load and Ride the Lightning.
Two very different albums.
100%. I won't lie. At that age, like right when I was like starting to get the itch, the Load, it clicks more than Ride the Lightning. Now, hands down, Ride the Lightning fan. And then I got more into like that California skate punk. Like I was a huge Rancid, Pennywise, NoFX fan. Remember that band Choking Victim?
Yeah.
That was one of my favorites in Catholic school. Still has a soft spot in my heart.
What do you think the festival provides to people? I know that I went to this festival called Fest in Gainesville, Florida, and I just remember rolling in and seeing all these people from all over the world and knowing immediately that I was going to have so much fun.
Yeah.
But coming onto the land of the Blackfeet Nation and knowing that this is something very special, it's not just a city with six venues. This is completely different. What was the vision there? And do you feel like it's been realized?
The vision, the original vision in Jackson when we were in Wyoming was just to like bring people into this rad natural world and just show how like this music does resonate like out in nature. It was kind of the original plan. And now that the nature has changed a lot, we were in a horse pasture in Jackson, you know, it was horse pasture. You could kind of see the Tetons, but now it's just like, just as far as like the natural part of it, it brings you into this. I like to call it, it's just like the bosom of the mountains. It's surrounded on all sides. There's a lake right there. And there's just something extra special about being by Two Medicine Lake. It has an energy that's just hard to explain, but it feels very welcoming. It's just being in a community that a lot of us aren't a part of or wouldn't be a part of otherwise, that I think is good, especially for where we're at as a country at the moment and how divided we are. The more that we can get together and chat with people that don't live our same day-to-day lives is a great thing.
What have been some of the considerations around being on the land and respecting it and coming in and making sure that you're enriching yourselves and the land, instead of, I've gone to festivals where you go to leave and there's just like tents left behind and it's just total garbage and it's disgusting, really.
Yeah, it is. My friend's company, it works at Burning Man too. So I've worked there before too. And you see like some camps just, yeah, leave tents just stuck in the dirt. And it's so gross. Since day one, the first festival we threw out there, so good. Cleaner than when we got there. Just seeing people take charge, respecting the land there has been so cool. And I think that shows to the respect that we try to have to our new friends that invited us there.
What kinds of things did the Blackfeet Nation require of you or want to make sure that if you're going to do this, these are the things that are going to have to be respected with the land?
They were more trusting than I think they were in Wyoming when we were there. by no means do I want to say that they like didn't care as much. I think that maybe Charlie had spoken it up enough where he's like, look, dude, these guys, it's going to be better than when they got there. You know, we did the normal hoops with everyone. You know, you talk to the environmental agency there, you talk to the tribal police, fire department, all those things. And a lot of it was basically respecting the land and respecting the Blackfeet as a whole, which is what we wanted to do more than anything. I don't want to come into a community and disrespect the people that live there by any means, which is great because we had, you know, some people there that were really helping us. And I was like, look, if I come step on any toes, obviously I'm just I'm a white dude from the Northwest. You know, I don't know a lot of the cultural stuff, you know, I'm trying to learn and it's rad. But I was like, if I'm doing anything that seems stupid or disrespectful, just tell me, just say, hey, like, that's not the way we do it. Luckily we've had friends that have been like, yeah, that's exactly what they've done. They've helped us. And I feel like we're able to appreciate each other more that way.
It sounds like Charlie, who's part of the Firekeeper organization, has facilitated a lot of the connections between Fire in the Mountains Festival and the Blackfeet Nation. Tell me a bit about how that happened. Where did you meet him? How did it come together?
So he came to the last festival that we did at Heartsix Ranch in Jackson. And then when we were going through our permitting process, we reached out to everyone who had come, like, hey, write a letter to the council, try to persuade them to like, yeah, these guys can keep coming back. But, you know, Jackson's policies has changed like everywhere, and they didn't really want any large scale events. So when we put it out there that we didn't get our permit again, Charlie just sent out a blind email, just inviting them to come out. That was it. He just was like, what the hell? Might as well throw it out there. And then, yeah, we came out and looked at a few different spots and it just clicked. So it was all just because he took that shot in the dark.
Do you think that Blackfeet Nation knew or researched the festival, or do you think it was just a situation where they had so much trust in Charlie and they're willing to, like I said, take that leap of faith, but also willing to give the chance for you to come out? And did you get a sense of kind of what it was that made them decide that yes, they would do that? It's obviously a very huge undertaking for them as well, right?
Definitely. It was both, for sure. Because Charlie's been at that school for a really long time, doing a really good stuff. Without his voice, I don't think it wouldn't have flown. But also, you know, without our reputation as a caring festival, because they definitely called the sheriff's department in Wyoming and checked up on us. And, you know, they gave us the thumbs up. They're like, yeah, these guys do everything that they can to make a safe event. So without that stuff, too, it wouldn't have flown either.
I know that when I heard that Neurosis, first of all, were a band, because we weren't even sure if they were going to continue at one point, and they had an album mode and they're playing this festival and all these things are coming together, and they were such an important band to me, all through my life. And talk about mental health, even that wall of sound is enough to really calm your body and put you in a, sounds weird to say, but put you in a calmer state. How did you feel when you're able to book them for the festival?
I was just pumped. So pumped. Because like I said, they're a big part about me, especially when I was in rehab. So I was so excited. And like Steve is he's a member of the Firekeeper Alliance board. I mean, us on the Fire in the Mountains side was always like, come on, man. Like, not directly to him. I never did that. But I was like, it'd be so sick. Come on, man. But I think we were all just super excited. And we knew that everyone else would be excited too.
When you started thinking about the mental health aspect of the festival, doing the workshops, and also, you know, trying to help the folks, especially the young folks at the Blackfeet Nation, and raising awareness around suicidality and reserves, and obviously Charlie a big part of it. But, you know, when did maybe the organizers realize, hey, like, wait a second, we're doing all these great things, but the mental health aspect is a huge issue, and not a lot of festivals that I know of put that into their mandate?
I think it like started kind of creeping into our head from like the feedback we got from the first few years by attendees. You know, people would write and just be like, look, I came there like super anxious or whatever, you know. I was kind of worried about coming out to the woods. It's not my normal routine, but like I wanted to see so-and-so band. And I showed up and I just felt like almost immediately a family member. it wasn't overtly said like, oh, this is a thing, like we could use this to help people's mental health. It was more just like, we could get people out here. And I think it does help. And I think it's just part of being out in the nature too, because that's always helped me with my ADHD and, you know, anxiety that pops up from it, is when I can get outside and be with people that I enjoy being around. It's a great boon to my day-to-day life. And we just thought that it could trickle out that way. And then obviously it came up more to the front when we had some other people just help push that aspect of the festival.
Yeah, on beautiful land and hosted by some beautiful people. Can't get much better than that, to have that partnership.
Yeah. Some of the people I've met through this process of just starting this festival has been cool. I never thought I'd do this. I'm a massage therapist. This is like my full-time job. So it's very secluded, just me in a room with one other person, you know? And so like meeting all these other people from different walks of life has been, from all around the world, has been so sick. And I mean, that part's helped my mental health, which I'll call a win.
That was my conversation with Ollie Tripp from Fire in the Mountains Festival, FITMFest.com. For more episodes of Screen Therapy, go to ScreenTherapyHQ.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. The Screen Therapy book is available now. Screen Therapy, A Punk Journey Through Mental Health, tells my story and the stories of others who use punk as a catalyst for mental health. Like this podcast, it links the community-minded punk scene with the mental wellness of the punks who belong to it. To order the book, go to ScreenTherapyHQ.com. For merch, check out ScreenTherapy.threadless.com. Okay, enough promoting. It's time for some thanking. Thank you for listening to Screen Therapy. Doing this podcast and talking to folks about punk rock and mental health has been a crucial part of my own mental stability, and it means so much to me that you're out there listening. Screen Therapy is created in the Cathet region of coastal British Columbia, Canada, on the traditional territory of the Klahaman Nation. Contact me at ScreenTherapyHQ.com or email me at ScreenTherapyPodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about punk rock and mental health. Until next time, take care and be well.
This is Bird Note. Wildlife biologist Alex Troutman jokes that he was always destined to be a fisherman, but Troutman family fishing trips taught Alex to appreciate birds, too.
Growing up, I would get so enamored by the birds instead of actually trying to catch fish. Like, my spark bird was the red-tailed hawk, which I would see many times while fishing, like, soaring through the air. For me, that was like my version of a phoenix, because when the sun is shining through its red tail, it almost looks like the tail is on fire. So I would see those birds, as well as great blue herons, and they would outfish me. And then like I would be in the baseball game or practice and get distracted by vultures circling around and get in trouble because I'm not paying attention.
Despite his early interest in nature, Alex didn't realize he could become a wildlife conservationist until college.
Because all the people growing up around me who were Black or people of color that worked with animals, they were either vets or farmers.
Now, as a professional biologist and children's book author, Alex is showing a new generation of critter-curious kids that they can have a career in conservation, too. Learn more about Alex's outdoor adventures in Season 8 of Bring Birds Back.